Today we're going to read from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 44 to 53. They're printed on the back of your bulletin. Listen for the word of God. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is Jesus' last resurrection appearance with the disciples. And it says that he read the scriptures and spoke the scriptures and opened up the minds of the disciples so that the disciples could understand, so that they could have the same mind that was in Christ. He reminded them all of the way that the Messiah would fulfill this ancient prophecy and told the disciples, "You are the witnesses of these things. You were here. You saw this. You've attended to this with me." Then as Jesus was blessing them, he was carried up into heaven. He left some instructions for them about staying in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. Now, if we read this in Mark's gospel, the ascension goes like this. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Done. Short. Sweet, to the point. Not a whole lot of instruction there, not a whole lot of encouragement. No scriptures were exactly quoted in that particular place. Very short and to the point. Because in Mark's gospel, the community believed that Jesus would come back at any moment and that this message was urgent, that it needed to get out and it needed to get out now. In the first chapter of Acts, the ascension is attested to this way. It says, "After this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Well, the word "taken up" comes from the Greek apero. It means to take up, to lift up. God lifted Jesus to his rightful place, seated with God on the throne of God's kingdom. We have to understand that in order for Jesus to be lifted up, he had to descend first. That Jesus descended upon the earth, came down and made himself humble, made himself human, so that he could then be lifted up and exalted when his purpose was accomplished. You know, when this ascension happened, the disciples still didn't fully understand what was going on. But there was a similar account of the ascension in scriptures they would have been very familiar with, coming from the Old Testament, the story of Elijah. It's written in 2 Kings, and it talks about Elijah, the powerful prophet of God, and how he got taken up in a whirlwind. that none had seen the power of God before as much as they had seen it in Elijah. And as he's being taken up in the whirlwind, his mantle, his cloak, came off of his neck and fell down to the ground. Elisha picks up the mantle, and as he struck the water at the Jordan, he asked, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" The water miraculously parted, and the company with Elisha bowed toward him and said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on you." So the great prophet Elijah, in his ascension, had passed the power on to the prophet Elisha. So you see, the ascension signifies for us the passing on of the power of Jesus. Jesus told the disciples to wait patiently for the promise of the Holy Spirit to empower their witness, to hang out in Jerusalem until it came upon them. So let's think about it this way for a minute. In this season, we have some families who have students that are graduating from school. And as they leave their high schools or colleges, having finished and completed and accomplishing the work that was required of them, I think we all celebrate as they receive their diplomas, right? And perhaps we, who are their parents and teachers and professors, perhaps we've had some heartfelt conversations like the one that Jesus had here with the disciples, reviewing all that had happened in their school years to strengthen them, to help them to carry forth, and charging them with new responsibility in that conversation, saying, the work isn't really over at graduation, but our young people are lifted up into the world carrying the authority and the power bestowed upon their generation. Well, Jesus had accomplished the work of God here on earth through his ministry, his life, his suffering, his death and resurrection. The risen Christ had seen and spoken with all those that he loved and cared about, those who would be his witnesses, those who would carry on his ministry. And now God, the three in one, sweeps Jesus up into heaven for the celebration. This means that Jesus did not have further exams to take or future papers to write, but that the saving work of God in Christ was done. The ascension signals for us the completion of God's saving work in Jesus Christ. His work accomplish the reconciliation and restoration of all creation through him. And now Jesus sits at God's right hand, still fully human, still fully divine, just as he was on earth. The ascension means that Jesus Christ, the risen God, once visible in human skin, has returned all of these human experiences and place them into the very heart of God, that God's heart contains the fullness of human life, its joys and its struggles, all within God. God understands everything about human experience firsthand because of Jesus. And because of Jesus and through Jesus, we are those that God has given authority to be his witnesses. Here's the thing. We don't really understand the work that Christ accomplished unless we participate in his life and realize that not only is Christ resurrected, But Christ has initiated the entire of creation to join in the resurrection. Well, we struggle. Yeah, we struggle. Doesn't look like we're all walking around living complete and full and whole lives as the resurrection conveys. But our struggle isn't with God. Our struggle is with the brokenness of creation. Our struggle is with the powers of the flesh. Our struggle is with the principalities of the world. But the good news is that we don't have to struggle with God. God has accomplished all that we need to love God and one another, to be reconciled, to be co-creators to God, to further the kingdom of God on earth. I think we struggle when we don't cooperate with God, when we don't understand the reality of what the ascension offers our lives. When Jesus ascended, he ascended into heaven. Heaven isn't something that we talk about that often, and frankly, I'm not real comfortable talking about it myself. Ask any five-year-old, and she'll point to the sky and tell you that heaven is that place behind the cloud over there. And in fact, the word translated for heaven from Scripture means air and sky. Heaven conjures up for us, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, conjures up images of clouds and blue sky, doesn't it? Well, here's what else heaven conjures up, taken from Scripture. Heaven is a place of abundance. Matthew 5 says, "Rejoice and be glad. In heaven, your reward will be great." Heaven is a place where all the saints gather, from kings. Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left." We live forever in heaven. Did you know that? We live forever. From 1 Corinthians, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, but it is raised an imperishable body. And from the final book in our Bible, from Revelation, "Then I saw a new heaven, and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away." I'm briefly going to share a little bit about a new book that's come out by Rob Bell. It's called Love Wins. And it's stirring up a lot of conversation over the way scriptures of heaven and hell have been interpreted or maybe even misinterpreted over the years. And what he says about heaven is this: what we find Jesus teaching over and over again is that he's actually interested in our hearts being transformed so that we can actually handle heaven. So that we can handle heaven. Do you get that? To portray heaven as a place of bliss and peace and endless joy is a beautiful picture. But Rob Bell raises this question: how many of us could handle that as we are today? There's no room for pride, no room for prejudice, no room for division, no cynicism, no fear, no room for those in heaven. Jesus said that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And we most often interpret that to mean political nations. We travel all over the world to do mission. But what if Jesus intended the word nation to mean all those people who live with some kind of division? Those who live with prejudice and separation around them. Are we really ready for heaven. I have heard it said that the Vietnamese image for hell is a place where everyone is given 3-foot-long chopsticks to eat with, and everyone is starving there because they cannot get the food into their mouths. Well, the Vietnamese image of heaven is where everyone is given 3-foot-long chopsticks to eat with, but instead are healthy and happy because they are feeding one another. Today, Ascension Sunday, we need to claim that Jesus descended to earth in order that we might ascend to heaven. The ascension belongs to the whole church, that we might claim our rightful place in God's kingdom. That is proclaiming peace and love here on earth, that we might be the... so that we too can be lifted up. Jesus raises us up that we can be more than we might be. Amen.